Welcome back to the Bitter Jurors podcast. We are a queer Legend of Korra superfan podcast. As always, I am one of your hosts, Derek Grinding, and joining me in my little swamp spirit journey, as per use, is Sam Stanish.
Happy to be here. Air babies.
Yes, the air babies are flying in on their little flying squirrel outfits, much like our would, I assume, if he had such an outfit on him. I don't know. Matt Gagan is here once again.
Yes, that is how I got here. I flew in, and I'm happy to finally be talking about this episode after I think reserving it 2 years ago.
At least. Wow. I was trying to remember. I feel like it was either while we were recording book one or it was definitely before book two had started, because like I just distinctly remember my notes app page where I keep the Korra upcoming guests, and it was like book one was like completely done, and then it said episode 404, Matt Gagan.
You did send me that, yes.
And you know what? I think it's sort of just like, Matt, talk to us. Why the calling? It called to you.
You started the Korra podcast while I was still watching Legend of Korra for my first time. So I guess as you were in the midst of season one or finishing up season one, I was watching season four, and I watched this episode, season four, episode four. And I was like, this might be the first episode of the show that has made me laugh. So that is what I would like to come on and talk about. This one I really enjoyed after it taking a while for me to get into the show. And I was just very high on the episode after watching it. So I said, you know what? Let me see if anyone has this episode since I just watched it. And I know it's one that I like. And lucky for me, no one had thought as far ahead as I had.
I know, but they hadn't. But then, like, during season three, someone did request this episode, and I had to be like, sorry, it's like it's been off the table longer than any other episode.
And thank god I did claim it. I requested this episode more in advance than I do my scheduling for my podcast, which is famously 6 months to a year ahead of time.
Yes. You were ahead of the curve. And ahead of that curve, the other curve as well, the one after that curve.
Right, yes. Ahead of two curves.
Yes, at least three. I see why. This is a really fun episode. You said it was because you thought it was really funny?
I laughed.
I see why. What's next? The Chili Z?
What the fuck?
Okay, no, I got it.
That's wow, that's a thinker, that one.
Speaking of things that made me laugh, that was really good. Yeah, I had a lot of fun first time watching. I had a lot of fun rewatching today. These three air babies, I enjoy my time with them, so I was happy we got an episode dedicated to them and their shenanigans. They were doing their thing, they were making me laugh. I think Toph has been the only like character from the original show that I've like fully enjoyed when she came back on. So this, I was very happy to see her. And so that both storylines really did it for me, which is why I'm such a fan of this episode.
That makes sense. I mean, not a high bar to clear, but she does. Yeah. She does. So.
Absolutely. I love, specifically on Toph, I feel like they took her in a really good direction. Whereas, like we discussed in previous episodes, like the other later in life original gang members are like not giving in this show at all. Whereas, like Toph is like, she's still Toph, but she's also doing like a Guru Patik thing, and she's like solving problems, and like she just delivers after they waited so long to finally reintroduce her.
Yeah, I think it's like, I feel like maybe the writers just like had no idea how to recapture those voices, but Toph is such a distinct voice. I think it would take a lot to like lose that in some way. So yeah, Toph is amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I feel like you said, this is very much like an Air Babies episode. And I never really noticed this about the season, but it does feel like every episode has its own like person we're following.
I agree. Like the first episode was all about Opal and Kai for whatever reason. And now then it was Korra. you know, last episode, I'm sure that was true as well. And now
I feel like we got a lot of Mako and Balin last episode. Mm. Yeah, that was the coronation note. So it was just like, I feel like we were in that sort of zone. So yeah, I'm trying to say that they really opened the door for the leftovers and the new season of the Bear as well, you know, these little main character moments.
I completely agree. You mentioned that previous episode was called Coronation, and while putting the episode up, I didn't really remember what the episode was called. And I listened to the start of the episode of our previous podcast, and I heard myself say the episode was dubbed by fans and creators alike Coronation, and I was like, this episode was not called Coronation.
And you tricked yourself,
right? I was like, that can't be the name, and I was like, was it? I said it.
the self gag, yeah, felt self face crack,
the time delayed self own.
Yes, let's bring back Pwn.
Oh, you know. Okay,
let's do it. I think we can.
I think so, yeah. I think the three of us just start naturally using it. I think the people will follow.
Got so pwned. the metal in Cora's blood, pwned.
She did pwn the shit out of that metal, yeah. I just kind of like seeped out of her body. I was no exit wounds or anything.
She's got holes. Skin is porous.
Pores, yeah, that's true. I don't want to, you know, clock Cora's large pores, you know, as someone of large pore experience as well, you know, I don't want to put her on blast.
I don't know if my pores are large or small. I've never really examined them.
She's been living on the road for months at a time. I don't think she's had time to do her skincare routine.
Oh, I bet. So, like, those nose, like, strip thingies, you know, I bet there's, like, a waterbending version of that, like, for your whole body that probably feels so good.
I need that. I'm always watching TikToks of people clipping the hooves of horses, and I'm always like, I need that on my brain. Some guy just like shedding layers of it and then like clipping it off, and then like clearing out the dirt that's it gets stuck in there too. Need it all.
I saw one where it was like there's like a full needle or like a nail in its hoof. Did you ever see that one? And they like took it out, and then they like shaved the hoof down, and then she was galloping.
Beautiful. I'm so glad you knew. I'm so glad you knew these videos, because I feel like this is the first time I've ever mentioned these, and someone understood what I was saying. Like,
you are seen, you are heard, you are valid.
I am. They are the best. They are so good.
I feel like I'm missing a lot on TikTok.
I don't know if it's good for the animals, but they do it.
It seems like I trust the people who are doing it. They know their horses.
All right, I guess TikTok's the next app I'm gonna have to get into.
Yeah, what happened? The now you're suddenly on Instagram and Letterboxd.
Yeah,
and
I downloaded Instagram and Letterboxd a week ago. Famously, I'm trying to. Are you trying logging to get
things on Letterboxd?
I logged my first movie on Letterboxd today, and then I said, "Now what?"
Well, what was it?
It was No Hard Feelings, which I saw yesterday.
Oh wow! What did she get?
She got a heart from me. She got a liked it.
You're a task fail.
Yeah.
Okay. Me too. What's your username?
Yeah. MattyFresh24. Same as Twitter.
Well, I didn't know if it was Gagan Matt inspired by your other
my Instagram.
Yes.
But yeah, I enjoyed. This is a
of a review.
Listen, I'm breaking my way in. I'm like easing my way into it. I'm breaking myself in. I can't.
Well, I just sent a follow.
Okay.
Letterboxd, searching for people, it's like, we got to research this. Why? I don't need to go to an entire different tab just to find people. It doesn't make sense.
I agree. And I think I've often been in discussions with my roommate about the quality of life needs of the Letterboxd app. He cites it as being difficult to use. And I think it just takes a day or two.
Oh, okay. Well.
Oh, okay. So I'm stupid, is what you're saying.
No, I agree, but I agree that
you agree that I'm stupid. Okay, got it.
I disagree that needs an update. I agree that that's inconvenient. Goodreads if we could do it at the same time, Goodreads also needs an update. Those two apps occupy the same place in my mind.
Yeah, reading movies are like reading for the eyes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's where I go to when I finish something, I'm like, this is, I did it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if the app updaters are listening, get on that.
Just make it better. They should know what I'm talking about. This episode is about the kids. They've been sent. We got it in the last episode. Tenzin has decided that they need to go find Korra. And they do. Big
mission
win.
Accomplished.
they had a goal. They set out to do it. They accomplished it. So again, you really can't find much fault with these three little kids.
I really wish Pema was in the show a lot more. Like, she didn't even do anything this episode. I'm just like, where did you go? You were in book one.
Well, it's Maria Bamford voicing her. Yeah. Was this during a busy time?
No idea. How busy would you have to be to not be able to voice act?
You're telling me. We also have not seen little toddler Rowan, right? Little baby.
True.
I think he was like in like the background of a shot in like episode one.
So rude. I was also thinking, shouldn't Iki must be about to become an airbender master as well, right? Like, we did like a 3-year time skip since Jinora got her tattoo, so I'm kind of like, she must be approaching.
Yeah, I feel like she's kind of continuing the Stephanie Tanner sort of parallels, as you know, the overlooked middle child, so maybe not.
Yeah.
Is Kaya middle child?
Kaya is, yeah, sorry, was I my internet went a little wonky there, so.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I just heard Stephanie Tanner, and I was like, I'm right there with you.
Yes. So, so Kaya is also the middle child. Kaya and Iki, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know what's...
But they are the Stephanie Tanners, yeah.
They're the Stephanie Tanners, a.k.a. they all are either explicitly lesbian or lesbian-coded.
I believe Kaya is canonically bisexual, but you're lesbian-coded.
Erasure. Sorry, I did not mean to erase. Okay, yes. So I feel like Iki should be there, but I also feel like Iki would not be down with the like severe hairline moment that Jinora has to rock.
I know Iki's hair was fierce in this episode. I didn't notice it in the first couple episodes because she wasn't moving and grooving around, but like Iki looks so good. The buns, she's rocking Sailor Moon with a down hairdo. Like, she's serving.
Gorgina. Which is why I feel like she's like the main character of the episode of the three, even.
Oh, she is. She has a big episode.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I think she wins the episode, even.
Oh, 100%. We don't believe in winners and losers here at Bitterjurs, but if there were a winner, I think it would be Iki.
Right.
Yeah, Milo also has a great episode. I feel like it's you can like tell like his voice actor is like still very young. Mm-hmm. It's a little jarring because I feel like everyone else, it's like, okay, I understand why they sound similar, but I don't know, it's still very cute and it works for me.
Yeah, Milo was cracking me up,
and he did not grow out of the farting.
Never.
I mean, he didn't fart too much in this episode. I don't think they certainly mentioned it, but
there's a mention and then there's a what's the word, they foreshadowed it and then they paid off later against like a vine.
Yes, he attacked it with a fart. I just discovered that Iki's voice actress is named Darcy Rose Burns.
Oh, it's Rose, like Darcy Rose Garden mixed with Rose Burns. So like
that name, I mean, maybe that's why, but that name certainly sounds familiar.
Even more so like Darcy Carden, because this Darcy Rose Burns spells her name Darcy, D-A-R-C-Y, but apparently she is the daughter of actors Kathy Darcy and C.J. Burns, but that Kathy Darcy spells it like Darcy Carden spells Darcy.
Oh, I know where I know Darcy Rose Burns from. Of course, the too-soon-canceled Disney Plus series Big Shot.
Hmm.
And now I know why it was canceled, because I'm clearly the only one who watched it on this podcast.
Yeah, I've never in my life heard of
John Stamos coaches a girls' high school basketball team.
That sounds dire.
I loved it.
Speaking of dire star vehicles, I just saw on, I think, Paramount Plus or maybe HBO Max, Robert Downey Jr. Max. Is doing some show about his cars, and it's just like,
oof.
Did you need that?
No. Who's looking to Jay Leno for, like, career right. trajectory? I don't. Mm-mm.
I'm going to pass on that one, I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if I don't have time for Drag Race All-Stars, I don't think I have time for Robert Downey Jr. and his cars.
Yeah. Well, can we swap that for season four of the other two?
Yeah. I'll make HBO Max a deal.
Please.
Robert Downey Jr. has also never touched a dollar of his Tonight Show money. So.
And he wants everyone to know that.
Yeah, but I completely agree with what you said earlier. Iki definitely the winner in the lead of this episode, especially in the scenes where she's like talking to those soldiers. Like, mm-hmm. she's just like, I love when they have her all tied up and she's just like, they pull out the map and then she's just like, it's right here. Got her arm yeah. out of the rope.
Yeah, she's able to slip out of the rope very, very easily. They really didn't tie that rope around her very well.
Which you would think they would know better as like clearly two homosexual men who have been living in this little like studio apartment in the woods by themselves for a long time. But I mean, it was such a cute little callback to Aang in, I think, in the Kyoshi episode where he like has the he's like in shackles or something, but he just like mm-hmm. slips them off. Very cute.
Yeah, they're all giving Aang in yeah. various ways
down.
Period.
Yeah, I Jenora also, you know, I really like just her aura. I wish she got to talk more, but I do think it's just like she's very confident in herself. She just knows what she's about. Was she wrong in this episode? Yes, she was, but yeah. she owned up to it.
Yeah.
She was just straight up wrong. She was like, we need to, this can't be where she is. We need to go.
Listen, I don't know much, but I 100% not here. So let's just move on. It'll be fine.
The like guys did it too. The guards, they're like, okay, so we've literally looked everywhere except this area. He's like, okay, so like look there.
Okay, that's, no, so I think I know where. Okay, so I think I know where she might be.
Oh, that weird area radiating strange spirit energy.
They're like, listen, if she was anywhere over here, we'd have seen her. Oh, but what about right here? No one's looked there. Oh, okay, yeah. Great. So let's start there, and maybe that's where she is.
It's very like old school like RPG vibes where it's like, well, it could be here, but no one goes in there. It's like, yeah, it probably is there. If you've looked everywhere else, it's probably there.
By process of elimination, I think we figured it out.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like they're just like him and Ha, and they are these gay guards are not actually looking for Korra. They're fine.
They're looking for macaroons.
Hello. Which, like, were those, like, deep-fried macaroons? I didn't understand what was going on there.
And they, like, that's what Pema sent along with them on their, like, not, like, granola. It's, like, full macaroons. This is the woman we are being robbed of.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like something Maria Bamford would do.
I mean, there were also, I think, sweet buns with happy faces on them.
Yeah.
And beautifully written notes.
Yeah, beautifully written notes, of course.
Yeah, that was a cute little detail. It's also such a lovely animation of the drawstring bag. I don't know why, but I was just like, it was so satisfying to see it like scrunch up. I loved it.
I was satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hashtag, what's the oddly satisfying, whatever that nonsense bullshit is?
I mean, that's what those horse videos we were talking about.
Is that another TikTok thing?
Maybe I'm weird, but I love when things fit together perfectly.
Triangle peg, triangle hole.
Yes. Speaking of pegging,
those pieces of wood that like stick together, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, I've seen that. yeah.
I'm at the same time as a Family Guy has seen, probably.
Yeah, probably. Although, no, what do they do? Is it still Family Guy, or have they moved on to something? It's probably like that big boobied woman from that goat movie.
I never got very many of the Family Guy videos to begin with, and I'm not familiar with the big boobied woman or the goat movie.
Wait, so you haven't seen the like it's I feel like maybe it's just a Twitter thing, but there's
I believe I've seen what you are referring to. Yeah.
The like giggling woman with the large breasts and okay. Sam,
and there's a goat?
Well, the she's from a goat movie. There's not a goat in the clips usually.
They made a lamb sequel.
You've never
I got Twitter.
You've never seen Goat Movie?
Yes, that's they went for something a little more gonzo. In the sequel, they were like, we need TNA to get people to watch. No more Burberry coats. I don't know I don't know why we talked about that.
Family Guides.
Yeah.
Satisfying. Yeah, yeah. We were already well off of Legends of Korra when we started talking about them. Something that's satisfying. Good. Oh, the bag.
The bag.
That is
the
how bag. We got there.
Very satisfying, much the like bag. Goat Movie was.
I assume.
I'm trusting you.
Yes. Maybe that'll be your second Letterboxd entry. Goat story.
Only my first review.
Oh.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
A goat story.
With bleated breath, since goats, you know?
I just feel like when I would say something like that, you'd be like, log the fuck off.
I don't talk like that.
You're right, that sounded like me. So yeah, Air Baby's plotline was fun. Definitely, I like the beat. But the Korra Toph thing was definitely the, like, meat of the text, I guess. Korra, I have some quibbles with ultimately how this all shook out, but I'm happy that they gave the fallout of the previous season time and like didn't resolve everything like within the finale of last season. Like, I feel like every other season premiere is a full reset from the previous season. Even I feel like book two to book three, it's like Korra wasn't still like dealing with, I don't know, it didn't feel real or whatever. And so now they like gave the time for her to be like dealing with the trauma and she's still going through it.
Yes. And I do like that obviously it does reek of like sort of retroactive, like, oh, it all was kind of connected in a way where they're like, yeah, they all were teaching you a lesson, Korra, which was like, I don't know what they were trying to teach her. Like, Toph just says, like, nice things about the villains, but, like, doesn't, like, elaborate on, like, what Korra should take away from that. I don't know. But it's a fun little montage.
I'm confused about what Toph knows. And, like,
well, she said she's been, like, spying on everyone for the past.
Yes. But she doesn't know Milo.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she was just being, maybe she, like, knows it, like, freaks people out when you're like, hey, I've seen you, like, in your everyday life for the past several years. So she's like, who are you? What?
Or she's just only paying attention to the villains, I guess.
Yeah.
Learning from their mistakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she like name checked them, which like, how do you even know their names?
She can hear through the roots now.
It's like, damn girl, okay. maybe what they're trying to imply is that like, which again would not make sense with the Milo thing, but it's like the show we've been watching is actually what like Toph has had up on like a little like Vine screen this whole time.
Yes. And what if the entire show they released the Toph cut and it was the exact same thing, but it was all it in the effect of what it looks like when she's like seeing with Earthbending and it's like black and white like lines throughout the entire show.
It's like a little CRT made out of like wood, like propped up on her little hut, and sometimes you see her like walk over to get some like something from the fridge. I would love that.
It's like Paramount Lion King Plus,
are you listening? Okay, I love Lion King 1.5. My favorite Lion King movie.
Well, they used to do Avatar extras on Nicktoons where it would be like little fun facts about the episodes would come up during the episode. And I do think that we should release a commentary track. It's sort of like whatever that thing is called.
Yeah.
It is. Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes.
But with Toph.
I'd be
or it could be like that other thing.
Yeah,
you're being Terrace very House.
Okay, I need a second to think of what the references are. Okay. These things I've never seen. Terrace House, where like they could do a scene of Korra, and then we cut to like the gang up in heaven watching it happen.
You're up in heaven.
Or the previous avatars.
As far as we know, it would just be Sokka and maybe Suki up there.
And Aang.
Oh yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, his apparently whatever is left of him got obliterated when the past lives got disconnected. So maybe yes. He's not.
Damn.
This that's episode sad. Really did solidify my mind. So Cora takes a lot of L's, like a lot of big L's in the show. Yeah. Like, there's suddenly back to back to back. We saw all of her greatest failures, and I'm like, you lose a lot.
Yeah. which it's like, I understand people definitely have quibbles, and I like understand why they have those issues with like. Why is it that the male avatar gets like built up throughout his series, whereas the woman avatar has to be sort of like reduced or throughout her journey? But I don't know. I feel like it just provides a more interesting contrast, and we always see Cora bounce back from it. It's not like, oh, she's been like diminished and it just like takes over her and she needs someone to like help her out of it. It's always like, no, this shit happened to her, but she can move on from it. So I like that. I know, but I understand the issues people have with it.
I understand
not every avatar is going to have a flawless record, you know?
It's, right.
It's some could say it's more entertaining to watch the avatar have to work her way back from these L's.
Exactly. Yes.
Plus, it's not. I mean, Aang definitely faced issues as well. I mean, genocide. died, lost, you know, failed invasion plot. Wasn't able to cut off his earthly tethers.
Loser.
Lost Appa.
Yeah, where's the episode where we recount all Vang's mistakes?
That's
kind of the book two finale.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree. It seems a little like, I don't know, nitpicky, but I don't know, whatever.
I think it was good, and I like that we're getting more of a through line between seasons. Like, was Amon even mentioned in book two? You know, I would never know the answer to that. But it's so weird
because he was ended up being Water Tribe. So it's like maybe the Water Tribe would have something to say about that.
You know. The logic wasn't tracking there, but so I'm glad that they're finally bringing it all together and making it like she is still dealing with this stuff. I think it makes complete sense that she would still have trauma from losing her bending, losing her connection to the past avatars, and then like nearly dying and ending the complete line of the avatars.
Yeah, and I, you know, like you were saying, one of my main problems with Korra as opposed to Avatar is that each season really just feels like its own thing and separate from the other season. So it's nice to see some continuity between the seasons here.
I agree. It almost makes me kind of wish, which I mean, I love what we got of Cora, but then now I obviously like hindsight is 2020, but it'd been cool if this was like their opportunity to like, okay, so if every season is kind of going to be separate anyways, because we never know if the show's going to get renewed or not, why don't we just do a new avatar every season? But obviously, that's what they're trying to do now. So they listened to me.
Yeah, so that they thought that was a good idea, yeah.
They're like, yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you.
Future avatars get TV series. Former avatars get book duologies. That's the rule so far.
Okay. That's fair because books are old and TV is new.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah, that's why Goodreads has to be like a poorly made app, because it's like, oh, like what if an old person, like the only people who read books are like old nerds or like old library women.
Old nerds.
Old nerds and old library women. The two people that read books.
I'm losing. My major quibbles with this episode, I just feel like it was tough. Telling Cora her emotional journey. Toph was just like delivering wisdom and it worked, and then Cora was like able to connect with the spirits and find the air babies, and then the air baby showed up and she like, it feels like it wasn't enough to like fully break Cora out of her rut and like beliefs about herself at that point. Like, I feel she was dealing with feeling like no one cared about the avatar anymore, and like she said, I missed you guys. All right, whatever. And it's like, you were the one who went away. Like, it wasn't like, and I guess it could have been that, like, I am literally saying like every fucking sentence, but it could have been about how she thought that nobody needed her anymore, and now they were sent on this mission to come find her, and so they now she understands that the Avatar is needed, but it just wasn't. I don't know. I feel like she was so down in the depths that, like, going to this tree and using this, like, spirit vision thing that Aang did also to find them, and then Jinora knows where she is too. I just don't know. It didn't really resolve all the issues that the show was telling me that it did resolve.
Yeah, I agree. I also don't know if that's, like, the right lesson, Korra, or, like, I feel like it shouldn't be like, oh, Korra, like, feels so awful because she feels like the Avatar isn't needed anymore, and then she gets over it by feeling needed again. I feel like the real resolution should be she becomes at peace with the fact that she isn't always going to be needed. But that's neither here nor there.
And either way, it doesn't seem like the writing was about that either of those solutions.
Right.
What happened? She just ran into Jinora, Iki, and Milo, and now she's ready to come back.
I mean, I get that, honestly. If I was in, like, a horrible funk, but then I saw them, I'd be like, I'm cured. I mean, happy again.
She always had them. She was supposed to go see them, and she didn't. I understand as like a self-destructive thing, but that wasn't discussed. That wasn't like part of the show.
Maybe the deleted scenes have something.
Yeah, did you ever think about that?
The Avatar extras.
That's why we need the extras.
Toph would be echoing all of my sentiments.
Didn't people decide that those aren't even canon too? Because it's like one writer was doing them, like, and it wasn't like the creators or anything. I feel like I remember that or something.
I don't know. Are deleted scenes canon?
I don't know. I just know the.
I err on the side of no.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like if I don't see, it's not real. So.
But you can see it if it's you know, on the DVD extras.
But then I probably have seen it. Yeah. But I don't remember it, so it's not real.
Okay.
Plus, it's like it's way more work to make a deleted scene for an animated show. So it's like, I don't know. It's not like Survivor deleted scenes, which, like, should be canonized, I think.
Well, it happened. Like, Survivor deleted scenes, those things definitely happened.
But allegedly. The scene isn't in the episode. I agree that is more canonical, I guess. But
what is canon really?
We're really breaking it down now.
I'll ask. I can't think of the woman's name who does that podcast, The Canon. Can't think of her name, and I do know the name of the man who has been canceled, who was her co-host, but I won't be saying it. Anyway,
now I'm googling whatever that is.
The Canon Podcast.
Yes. Any other thought? The Wikipedia page for this episode is very strange to me because it says, "Where's the trivia?" Okay, yeah. Korra's visions in the swamp, seeing a new one each time she turned around, was inspired by the Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite sequence in 2001: A Space Odyssey. But it's like, wasn't that definitely just Star Wars? That was a Star Wars sequence.
Yeah. 100%. It's always a Star Wars sequence when it's this show.
But apparently it was on the commentary track, which I'm sure you've heard.
Which is canon.
I have, yes.
That's word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Okay, so I know this other host of the canon. Okay. Investigative journalism.
At its finest. I love the, like, everyone who goes into the swamp is like haunted by their past. I love that Toph and the swamp benders just like live in the swamp. They must not have any past regrets at all,
or they're the most
I was just saying, Toph lives life with no regrets.
Absolutely. I feel like she should have tattoos at this point, speaking of that, you know,
Toph.
One that says no regrets?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. She would. It somehow says Wait, N O R E G R E. No regret.
Not a single one.
No regret.
Why were yes, Tom. Or they're the most like fucked up weirdos who like are like have a lot of trauma, but they're just like cool with it just like floating around them at all times.
Yeah, I mean if you've lived there for a while, you probably just get used to it.
Yeah. You're like, honey, oh,
a
yeah,
second there's... in my brain is like you're in the damn swamp.
I know. I feel like the only thing we're missing from the swamp, obviously we had the cute frog squirrel from last episode, but we're missing like the like weirdo creatures that we saw last time. Just a thought.
I'm agreeing.
No, you're right.
Thank you.
Creatures famously live in swamps.
They do.
There should be some Shreks. There should be
Shreks.
Some...
There should be Shreks. Oh my god.
Off kind of the she's like, stay out of my swamp.
she is giving Shrek. You're right.
I wish we had seen Swamp Bender Society. Feels like, I mean, I don't remember if it's in the next episode, but it feels like they're leaving the swamp. And it must have grown. We only saw 3 swamp benders before. Do they have a city? Like, what's going on? Does Toph just destroy it every time they try to build a new settlement?
My god, she's like an angry god. Oh,
she said that she's fought them before.
That is true. Yeah. Why? Which is like, yeah, are they like attacking her on sight? Like, what? I have lots of questions. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Feelings?
I guess. Oh, no, Matt, you go.
No, I'm just going to say, I enjoy seeing our old friend Toph here. Whether it's leading Korra to a conclusion that maybe doesn't make the most sense is neither here nor there. But seeing Toph was great. Having her be her same, you know, sarcastic self, really just bad mouthing, saying that their grandfather was annoying, or saying that avatars really need to have their hand held, or whatever she was making fun of. It's just great to see Toph. It was good to see her in the previous episodes as well. Like I said, she is the welcome presence of the series before this, where I really, really enjoyed seeing her as opposed to the other characters we got. And I've talked up the air babies in the beginning of the show, saying that that's the reason I loved watching this episode. But this other, you know, the meat of the episode really, really had something for me as well. So I applaud myself for wanting to talk about this episode, and I felt no different after rewatching it today.
I applaud you as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pat yourself on the back for
he already has.
This.
And I will continue to do so.
Yes, this was a good call.
Good. I feel like I might have went into it with overly high expectations just because it was the most hotly sought after episode of any podcast I've ever.
It was fun. We had
organized.
Fun.
We had a great time. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, this feels like you brought something to this work that was, you know, is no fault of the work. So that's on
there's
you.
Not a lot of laughs in this show.
I'm agreeing. It's my fault. And if anybody wants to read discussions about the episode from right after it aired, I'm on the Avatar Wikipedia page, and there's a forum post still on this episode, ready to go for your viewing pleasure if you are trying to see where people were at back then.
Wow. Can you read off one?
Let's see. The calling discussion thread. Spoilers. My thoughts this episode. Korra is back, but will she be ready for what's coming? Milo is so cute and funny. The leftover metal wasn't that much. True. Okay.
Oh.
That's true. It was not enough. So Kuvira's already established posts all over the kingdom. What's with the cut down trees? Kuvira is on her way to Zaofu. So what were your thoughts?
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, why didn't we should just be reading these?
Yeah.
Take a page out of the Lonely Boy's book.
You're writing
of the week, everyone's favorite segment.
I also just thought of another thing I wanted to say. Oh, on Paramount Plus, the air dates that they have on there are for when they aired on TV and not when they aired their original airing on the streaming service. And it's like, that is not it. Because it was like December 5th. And I was like, this episode couldn't have come out December 5th. And the finale couldn't have been in January, because I distinctly remember watching it after falling asleep after my last final of my fall semester of my junior year of college. And it's like, that didn't happen in January.
The math is not mathing.
Exactly. It's like when they list the air date of Friday Night Lights when it aired on NBC and not when it aired on DirecTV Plus. Annoying.
Did it originally air on DirecTV Plus?
The later seasons did, yeah. Mm,
I remember that.
And then went to NBC like 6 months later or something.
Spotify is like that too. They will, some albums, they're like, this came out January 1st of this year. It's like,
yeah, you can't really trust Spotify, especially when you see it's a January 1st release. Sometimes they're like, I guess we don't know what date we're just going to say.
It's like, which is like,
if we don't have the records of when this came out.
If I can like look and instantly find it on Wikipedia, then so can you. I don't understand. It's laziness.
Yeah. Either this artist is always releasing an album on New Year's Day, or you're doing something wrong here.
They just love Capricorn season. What can I say? Yeah. That is a weird thing.
I agree.
You know, we started with saying that apps need to do better.
And now we're doing release dates.
Ending with release dates need to do better.
I'd say we discussed this episode at least 30% of the recording time.
Which is pretty good.
That is probably a new record.
Matt, any other final thoughts before we go to plugs?
No, I hope the good episodes keep coming of Legend of Korra and of Bitter Jurors covering Legend of Korra. And I think they just might.
You think? Okay. You have an inkling.
I have a feeling.
Not a guarantee, I guess.
I mean, Matthew, listen, I can't predict the future.
That's true.
Matthew, what are you plugging?
You can follow me on Twitter at MattyFresh24. And Letterboxd to now, I guess, at MattyFresh24. And please listen to my podcast, where me and my co-host Brendan are also recapping a show. It is Gossip Girl, where I have seen every episode numerous times. Brendan has not. I mean, at this point, Brendan has seen most of the episodes now, as we are in the second half of season four. So it's called The Lonely Boys. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify. You know, wherever you get your podcasts. Plenty of content to keep you satisfied. You know, our episodes are nice and juicy. Lots of content in there. And then also, if you want, you could listen to our OC coverage at Sandy Boys. Become a patron. Derek will be on that soon. Sam will be on soon as well. He's also been on the Lonely Boys numerous times, four times, I believe. He's part of the Four Timers Club. So you can listen to their episodes, and it's gonna be great. You're gonna love it.
Hell yes.
Couldn't have said any of that better myself.
Great.
Derek, how about you?
You can follow me at RainDierks on Twitter. I think I'm also that on Letterboxd, if we're doing Letterboxd. Might just be RainDierks singular. Kind of like No Regret. I feel really bad. I've been like video game brained for like the last few months, so I have not been updating her as much as I used to. But I gave 4.5 stars to Asteroid City, so I guess that makes it, you don't even need to go look at my letterbox, I guess. Other than that, follow at ShadowPlayGaze on Twitter. That's it.
You can follow me at Sam Stanish on Letterboxd. Although, like Derek, I haven't been updating it very much, but unfortunately it's because I'm an old nerd and I've been reading, because I'm a cool
or an old who
plays video games, I guess. And you can follow me at Sam Sanders on Instagram. My other podcast, Buffy Boyfriends Everywhere, talking Buffy the Vampire Slayer with my boyfriend, who I previously called a roommate on this very podcast. And I think that's everything. Oh, listen to Stanima.
Yeah,
of course.
The X-Teen Files is episode by episode watch of Panama. It's hard for me to say rewatch because it's like I want to let people know that it's spoiler free, so you could watch. It's yes. not a rewatch, yeah. Even though she's rewatching it. It's very safe.
And you know what? You may be hearing my voice on that podcast very soon.
Oh,
might as well.
Spoilers. Yes, the all of that. I don't know what else. The end.
Let's just tread and vamp for the next 45 minutes.
Okay,
I've got time.
Yeah. So
bye.
Bye.